From the Voice of America, this is Asia Weekly. Attacks have plagued Myanmar's Rakhine State, where Border Patrol police, soldiers, and insurgents have been killed. Now, amidst allegations of the military blocking aid and committing human rights violations, Aung San Suu Kyi's six-month-old civilian government faces criticism. Hello, everyone. I'm Steve Miller. Myanmar's Rakhine State, located in the country's western region near the border with Bangladesh, is no stranger to conflict or controversy. In 2012, violence erupted between the Rakhine Buddhist majority and the Rohingya Muslim minority. That conflict spread, and as a result, the United Nations Human Rights Council says that some 145,000 people were displaced. On October 9th, militants killed 9 border police, and again on November 4th, another officer was killed, with one more wounded in a new attack. Constitutionally, the military handled security matters and moved into the area. Thus far, at least 5 soldiers and 33 insurgents have been killed in clashes, with an estimated insurgency of about 400 strong. While Aung San Suu Kyi serves as the nation's de facto head of state in the newly created role of state counselor, after her National League for Democracy, or the NLD party, took to power 5 months ago, the newly formed government hasn't done much to clamp down on military atrocities. On a state visit to Japan, Suu Kyi said her government needed to be careful so as not to blame anyone in particular until adequate evidence had been collected. The U.S. State Department, activists, and rights groups have also raised concerns over reports of rape and murder in the Rakhine State and renewed questions about the region's prospects for peace after so many years of tension. Ma Nyo lives in Sitwe, located in the Rakhine State, and is one of those who happens to be internally displaced.
We do not know how long we're going to stay here. We want to go back to our homes, but if we do, then we will be attacked by Muslim terrorists.
Hunter Marston is an independent Myanmar analyst who previously worked for the U.S. Embassy there, and he notes,
the violence that we saw in the initial attacks in 2012 had mostly subsided, actually. The Rohingya had been confined to refugee camps, so it was a very unpleasant status quo. But the actual uptick in violence in the past month has been sort of a new flare-up and marked by a little bit different character,
making it difficult to discern who is really carrying out the recent acts of violence. And since there is such little information being released, Marston says it's hard to vet what's really taking place.
Aung San Suu Kyi, has a very difficult situation to deal with. It's pretty much lawless there at the time. But at the same time, we've seen her form this advisory committee headed by former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan. So this is a good move, but whether or not it has teeth or whether it will have impact certainly remains to be seen.
The lack of information isn't helping those in the camps, causing rumors to be swirled about. As Mong Mong explains, those rumors have stoked fears.
I have heard that people are attacking Rohingya, burning their houses and killing people, and now they want to search us too. There is already a curfew in the camps, so I think the conflict will come here soon.
With the area under operational control of the military, humanitarian assistance was temporarily halted. New York-based Human Rights Watch said it had analyzed satellite imagery taken on October 22nd that showed multiple areas of probable building destruction in at least 3 villages, where residents have also said that troops torched homes. The government denies it burned down villages or committed any other of the alleged human rights violations that have been levied against them. Phil Robertson, deputy director for Human Rights Watch in Asia, called upon the government to end its blanket denial of wrongdoing. But with such a long history of violence in the area, what's the correct lens in which to view these recent events? Marston again.
This gradual process of discrimination and removing of the Rohingya's political rights and citizenship rights actually dates back to the early days of independence in 1948 from the British. A successive wave of military junta leaders actually stripped the Rohingya very gradually of political rights and slowly denied them the right to vote. The recent move in the last election by the NLD, Aung San Suu Kyi's party, to actually remove all the Muslim candidates from its roster was upsetting, because Myanmar does have a history of even Rohingya in parliament and Muslim politicians participating, especially in Rakhine State. So it's really sad to see how the NLD and the country as a whole has disenfranchised the Rohingya population from any political route to reconciliation.
Marston notes that ASEAN leaders have been pressing Myanmar to address the situation because of a large number of Rohingya attempting to cross borders and enter neighboring countries. However, with Aung San Suu Kyi not using the word Rohingya and asking others to do the same, Marston says it could take generations to heal the distrust and discrimination. Announcing an investigation into the situation in the Rakhine State, Suu Kyi said her government wasn't trying to hide anything and was attempting to get to the bottom of the situation. That is going to do it for me this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you enjoyed the podcast, please share it with your friends. And to get new episodes delivered to you automatically, you can subscribe in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. From Washington, I'm Steve Miller.